Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning.
Okay, the topic today is a very joyful topic. Last week is kind of tough. We talked about judgment. And judgment, if you remember, is that at the end of our lives, as soon as we die, then Christ is going to judge us. That's called the particular judgment. And the general judgment is going to be at the end of the world. So those who die and they go to heaven right now, they go only with their souls, as well as those who go to hell. They only go with their souls. But at the end of the world, then Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, and the souls will be united to the bodies. And so the whole composite nature of the human person will be total at the end of the world. I think it's a good idea to meditate upon this topic of heaven every day, at least for a minute or two. Because if we think about heaven, and we are going through tough times that we all go through. Life is very short, and the purpose of our life is to get to heaven. The purpose of our life is to get to heaven. As we said last week, life is very short. Our life is like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down, as the poet says. St. Augustine puts it this way, that our life, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. Okay, it's a mere blink of the eye. That's our life in comparison with eternity. Also, the Bible says that our life is like a puff of smoke. Puff of smoke. Disappears just like that. So we want to talk about heaven, and we want to talk about how to get to heaven. We want to talk about and how can we get to heaven and take the steps to get to heaven. So I wrote a little bit longer intro, and it's an exercise that I invite all of us to do. I'd like to do it with you, utilizing our imagination. The human mind has three faculties, imagination, memory, and understanding. Those are the three different faculties of your mind. Imagination is the creative part. We can create ideas and scenes in our mind. Memory is we call to the present past events. And understanding is we read something and we penetrate the truth of what we're reading. So you're reading Shakespeare or Aristotle or Plato, or you're reading some science text and you're able to understand it. So we're called to cultivate our mind. You know? And it takes a lot of work. But the most important knowledge is knowing how to get to heaven, how to get to God. Right? It's the most important. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, Jesus says. No? The richest person in the world and the poorest ends up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. Nadie se escapa. So I'd like to repeat that the richest person and the poorest person ends up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. That's called the cemetery. You're never going to see a U-Haul van following a funeral hearse, are you? No? Have you? Have you been to a funeral? You see behind the dead body, you see a U-Haul van carrying his possessions to the cemetery. I've never seen that yet, and I don't think you will either. Okay, before getting into this, I invite all of you to see a good movie. And maybe you can write it on the board. It's probably in the top 5 best movies I've ever seen. Okay, Matt? The Hidden Life. Okay? It's off the Pacific Coast Highway, 2nd Street, so it's not near the place here. And it's a story, it's based on a real story during the Second World War. I don't know how much you've studied world history. Do you study that yet? Maybe you heard of Adolf Hitler? Okay, so it's during the time of Adolf Hitler, and Hitler is basically trying to conquer the world. So one of his allies, the only German-speaking country aside from Germany, is a country called Austria, which is right next to it. Now, if you know your world history, during the Protestant Reformation, Germany was cut in two. So the northern part became what is called Lutheran, Martin Luther. But the southern part remained Catholic. Bavaria. That's where some of my relatives come from on my mom's side, the German blood that I do have. No, that's why I'm Catholic. Otherwise, I'd be a Lutheran minister probably. So Hitler is trying to conquer the world, and one of the first allies that he gets are the Austrians. Now the Austrians, they're all Catholic. And this may surprise you, but Hitler was not German, he was Austrian. Did you know that? And he was a Catholic. He wasn't a very good Catholic, was he, no? But he was a baptized Catholic, as well as Stalin and Fidel Castro. So the movie shows the Nazis in Austria and they're enlisting men. And this man, whose name is Franz, let me put that Franz, a married man, he's a farmer. He's forced to sign the oath of loyalty to Hitler. An oath, and in Spanish, un juramento de fidelidad, if you speak better Spanish, okay? An oath of loyalty. And everyone does it. Except him, he's not going to do it. So everyone is against the guy. His family, his mother, his wife, his kids, the priest, even the bishop. The priest and the bishop said, faithfulness to country and the family first. Nothing wrong with the country and the family, but God should be first, right? So what happens is, everyone is trying him to get to sign the oath of fidelity. He says no. So he's condemned as a war criminal. And they force him to get in a train to travel from Vienna, which is a city in Austria, to Berlin. Berlin is a very well-known city in Germany. And there he's being shuffled from one jail to the next. And everyone is trying to get him to give in. The lawyers, his townsmen, his friends. And he says, no, I can't do it because it's wrong, it's unjust, and it's against my conscience. So the end of the movie shows him being condemned, and they see they're preparing what's called a guillotine. It's a French word, but I think some of you have heard the word guillotine.
Yeah.
What's the guillotine mean?
It's like a giant knife that cuts off their head.
Right. So they're preparing that, and he's waiting in line, and it's a huge knife, and you put your hand on the block, and during the French Revolution they use that, but also they use it in Germany. So they chop his head off, and it ends. He's a martyr. And he put before his name, Blessed. Blessed. Blessed means that he's a saint.
Just before
his name. Right. Two miracles, one more miracle, and he'll be. He's dying at the same time as Maximilian Kolbe. Okay? Kolbe's going to die in Auschwitz. He's going to die in Berlin. So I would invite you, I've just told you the basic plot of the movie. I would really invite you to Google it in to see if you can go maybe during the week, and if it might also be some of the people in our parish went today. I went on Monday. They might be pulling it out sometime this week, so I invite you to try to see it before it's too late. But what I admire most is that most of you have heard of the Cristeros. Maybe some of you saw in the movie For the Greater Glory with Jose Luis Santander. Did you like the movie? The kid was about your age when he died. No, he was about 16, and 2 or 3 years older. And, you know, he was, you know, they cut his feet and then they shot him. But he suffered a little bit, but this guy was suffering probably about a year. And that shows real courage. You know, you're shot in the firing squad is one thing, but you're being shuffled from one place to the next, in which you're being tortured, that's no joke. That can only happen if you're really close to God. Right? Only if you're really close to God. And we're going through tough times, no? A few minutes ago, I heard that they were selling the first transgender doll, you know, for kids in Russia, no? Where on earth are we heading? A transgender doll is being sold for children, and it's a transgender doll.
How does that work?
Well, I don't want to go into graphic detail because that's not the plot of the lesson, but it's this, that you guys are created men, okay? And you are men, you're always going to be men, and you're going to die as a man. Huh? Today, they're trying to change sexual identity. You can even go to Kaiser Permanente, a hospital. You can go in as a man, you can come out as a girl. Okay, so you have an operation which you have a change of your sexual identity in a matter of an operation, and you get hormonal treatment and psychological treatment to cope with your new identity. Okay, now in the schools they're teaching this, you guys got to have your eyes open, and it's wrong. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's wrong. And I think that you should have a courage to stand up in class and say, you know, I don't agree with this. And they say, why? Well, you guys say, number one is because it's dumb. Number two is because I'm a believer in Christ. I believe in the Bible. And you might even use another trump card, no pun intended, but this. You might say, most of you here come from Mexico and say, that's against our tradition. That's against our culture. And that's a strong argument in the United States. You hear me? That's it. Because this country is supposed to be respecting all different cultures and races. So you're discriminating against us and our parents and our grandparents. We believe in traditional marriages. That's a good argument, right, Matt?
Yeah.
That's a good argument. Because you're discriminating against our parents and our grandparents. And we come from traditional families. Traditional family means husband and wife, father and mother, that have kids in a normal way, okay? Yeah? So they're trying to pervert you to think you can have two moms that can adopt the children. They call that a family. You hear me? And then they can adopt a child, the two women, they adopt a child, and they call it a family. Then you got your little sister that goes to first grade, and there's a math book, 1 + 1 = 2, and you see two women sit at the table with that little girl, and they're smiling at her. This is the new type of family. So they're taking away the innocence of your little sister. How is she going to defend herself against a 45-year-old teacher? Impossible. You know, a 5-year-old kid? So just be aware, you know, I'm your confirmation teacher and Matt is helping me out. There are a lot of things they're trying to shove down your throat, force upon you, is just wrong. And who knows, maybe we're going to have to suffer like this guy to defend the unborn child and to defend the family. Could be. Might be, you know, you're forced, they're going to force to accept that type of living arrangement. You say, I don't agree with that. And if they laugh at you, they make fun of you, rejoice because your names are written in heaven, as Jesus says. Yes, sir. Elliot, yeah.
The last attack of the devil is on the family.
Yes.
So.
That's right. That's the John Paul II and Our Lady Fatima. Because if you destroy the family, you know, the family is the basic building block of society. And if you do study world history, the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization, then how do they fall apart? They become unraveled when the family is attacked and comes apart. Then the whole society, it unravels. It unravels. So there's a frontal attack on the family. But now that we have you at least for 7 or 8 months, at least I can say this to you, okay, God created man and woman. That's it. You hear me?
Yeah.
God created man and woman, and most of you will be called, not tomorrow, but, you know, after you finish your college, you get your college degree, most of you are going to be called to the married life, but you marry a woman. Okay? And you marry in the church, not just in Las Vegas, you know, just a civil wedding. You marry in the church with a priest present. And then with your wife, you have children. Not test tube babies or laboratory babies, no. You have children in the normal way. That's what God wants. You hear me? Okay, so you've heard it from me. Because you're going to be listening to school in the next couple of years, they're going to be saying the exact opposite. Reckon they're going to try to brainwash you as Hitler was trying to... Hitler brainwashed millions of people! Millions! This was about the only guy that was able to say, I'm not going to do it because Hitler is killing Jews, he's killing children, he's killing innocent people, he's killing priests too. It's wrong. And the guy... He was beheaded, and now he's in heaven. So I think that if they see him, in the future, they see the reason why it encouraged them to try to see this film. It could be a prophecy of what's right up the pike in the future for us. And if we have to die as a martyr, okay, if we have to die as a martyr, we go right to heaven. It's the gateway to heaven, right? So if you're gonna really live out your Catholic faith, sooner or later you're gonna be persecuted. I'm not saying that to scare you, okay? But if you're gonna live your Catholic faith, sooner or later you're gonna be persecuted. Know what that word means? You're gonna suffer for Christ, which is good. Okay, which is good. But God's grace is powerful. You stay with God's grace, God is powerful. He can move the mountains. And given that we're talking about heaven, that man suffered a little bit, but he's in heaven. Did any of you see, I think maybe your mom talked, any of you see the movie of St. Paul where he had Jim Caviezel? Did you see it? Did you like it? Why not? Didn't pay attention, okay.
St. Paul the Apostle?
Yeah.
That was a good movie. People were being burned.
Yeah. He didn't pay attention to what you did, right? It was a good movie, I think?
Yeah.
No. Next time you should pay attention. Okay. You know, one of the greatest scenes you don't remember because you're eating your popcorn, okay, is when they were in the catacombs and they were throwing them to the lions and they're also burning them as human torches. You probably remember that. St. Luke gives a homily and he says, you guys are going to suffer a short time because they're going to be thrown to the lions. But it's all going to be over, then they're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Going to be over in a short time. So now when you go to a movie like that, listen, pay attention. You hear me? Yeah, because you see something like that, it's forming you as a person. It's forming you as a Christian. Forming you as a Catholic. Forming you as a follower of Christ. You hear me? Okay, so hopefully when they go, they're going to be paying attention. And we can ask them some questions, right?
Yeah, we'll have a quiz.
I have a quiz, okay.
Next week. So. Did you say, was that, which theater?
It's off, it's downtown Long Beach.
Oh, downtown Long Beach.
Yeah, and it's off the PCH highway, I think 2nd Street.
2nd
Street. It's just a small theater. No? If you Google it in, you'll be able to say, as long as you know the title.
Mm-hmm. So this is
Hidden Life, okay? So ask your mother to take, but this time pay attention, okay? Will you? Okay, good. So let's go to our text, okay? Try to imagine the happiest day in your life. The most joyful experience ever. The most memorable and unforgettably happy experience in your life. Spend a few moments to bring this incredible explosion of joy you experience. What was it? For me, it was the day that John Paul II ordained me a priest. Man, wow. Man! 33 and a half years ago, May 25th. Basilica of St. Peter. 1986, May 25th, I entered into the church. It was a Sunday. It was a feast day of the Blessed Trinity. And if I entered at about 9 o'clock, about 10:30, I knelt down. And there were deacons there. I knelt down and John Paul II placed his hands on my head. So I have holy hair. Yes, I have holy hair. I am a third class relic. Because a relic, you got the first class relic is the bone, the second class relic is a part of the vestment. A third class relic is what someone touched. So my hair is a third class relic. Well, how about that, huh? What an incredible encounter, having an encounter with the most famous man in the world. He was, no? It was 1986. Then the day after that, I celebrated my first Mass by myself. And I worked. I worked with the mothers, the sisters of Mother Teresa, with the poor people of Rome. And so they sang for my first Mass. And so the nuns were coming up and asking for my blessing. And one of them said, "Hey, why don't you come to our house to celebrate your ordination?" I said, "I can, but there are 9 of us. I come from a big family. Come on anyway." So right there, I enter into the house of these nuns, a convent. There's about 70 of these nuns. All of a sudden, the whole circle of them opens up, and this little nun, about 4'10", comes hobbling toward me. She got this wrinkled face. She kneels down. She kisses my hands, and my dad is filming this, and she looks to my mom and says, "Thank you very much. You've given to the world the greatest gift in the world, a Catholic priest." And that was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Yeah. Yep.
Wait, can I watch the video?
It's VHS. You know, this is what, 33 years ago, no? So one day I was underneath the hands of John Paul II. The second day, the holiest nun in the world was underneath my hands. Amen? So those 24 hours were the happiest hours of my life. Seems like yesterday. Where were you in 1986?
Nowhere.
Your parents probably weren't even born yet, huh? But so for me that would have been the happiest 24 hours of my life. Ordained by JP2 and Mother Teresa kissing my hands, and my parents seeing her and saying thank you for the greatest gift, the gift of being a priest. So maybe none of you have really had any happy moments in your life. Maybe you guys are maybe kind of sad saps or deadbeats. I don't know. Maybe you've never had a happy day in your life. I hope you have, no?
Yeah.
Many times.
I had a lot of time.
So you think about that happy day in your life and magnify that 1,000 times and add to that eternity forever and ever and ever. You gotta have a mere glimpse of what heaven is like. By means of comparison, because we can't understand fully what heaven is. So the finite creature, namely myself, I cannot explain the infinite. Okay? The finite creature, using finite terms that are called human words, cannot explain the reality of the infinite God. Okay? So it's an exercise you try to do, because you compare that happy moment of day to heaven. Heaven is going to be a billion times better, and it's going to be forever. Got that? Okay. Okay, so heaven. The reality of heaven goes way beyond what you've tried to understand by your imagination. Your ultimate destiny. The ultimate destiny of our short lives on earth is to arrive safe and sound at our eternal home, and we call that heaven. We should never lose sight of why we are here and where we are heading and how to get there. Making it to heaven is the end, all, and purpose of why we are here on earth. Desire for heaven. We should all have an earnest yearning to get to heaven. Do you, or has the thought really crossed your mind? Maybe not. Or if it has crossed your mind, then maybe you really never gave it too much importance. Now, what I'm going to read now is what most people focus upon in this country, in L.A. They're called false desires. You know, I've often thought about this. Everyone wants to be happy. Right? Do you want to be happy? Do you?
Some people don't.
No, everyone wants to be happy. You're not going to wake up on Monday, okay, today I want to be sad all day, and kind of walk like this.
Depressed people.
But they don't. They want to get out of depression. That's why they take depression pills.
To help one.
Well, they want to get out of it. You know, they don't want to live in depression. They want to get out of it. They're going to use all means possible. But no one really wants to live a life of sadness and depression. Okay. But the reason why you have people... We want to be happy that are sad is because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Yes. I repeat. They're looking for happiness in the wrong place. In drugs, in sex, in power, in vanity, in money, in pleasure. You can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. Never forget that. I'll repeat, you can buy pleasure with big bucks. You go to Las Vegas, huh? But you can't buy happiness. Only God can give us true happiness. The Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love." I agree with that. Never heard of the Beatles, huh? Money can't buy me love. Only God can give us true love, right? So, false desires. Let's read this. Every person on earth has desires, but many of them are false. Desires that in the end only bring disillusion, sadness, depression, and hopelessness. Desire for pleasure, drink, sexual satisfaction, power and wealth. These are all the worldly pursuits of so many people. But once they have them, it's like a thirsty sailor who drinks a gallon of salt water. His thirst becomes even more intense, right? So you're in a ship and there's no water and you drop a bucket and you yank the bucket out and you drink a gallon of salt water, you're going to be even more thirsty. It's not going to slake your thirst. So many people are pursuing false happiness, which only makes them more sad. Only God can give us true pleasure. Okay, what is heaven? Okay, now what is heaven? Where is it? Who is there? And how can we get there? We're going to try to respond to those questions. Okay, you got that? We'll try to respond to those questions. Okay, maybe start with the numbers now. Okay, you're going to erase that. Number one is this. Okay, after this class, where are you going?
Home.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay, it's a temporary place. It's temporary. Temporary means you're not going to be there forever. Okay, what is heaven? Write it in. It is our eternal home. Got that? Good idea?
Yes.
Wherever we go, our home is temporary. We're just here as wayfarers. We're going to be at home from maybe there for 10, 15, 20 years. We might move to another place. But wherever you go, whatever home you go to, it's temporary. Your eternal home is heaven. And you should long to get there. Okay, so let's talk now about the negative, okay? Well, let's get the negative out of the way. Ready? Okay. In heaven, there is no evil. Write that in there.
No sin.
Okay, you could put that. But there's no evil. And what you said is true. There's no sin. Here in this world, there's good, but there's a lot of bad, too. There's virtue, but there's a lot of evil, right? What day today? 16th. Okay, so next week is January 22nd. Do you know what happened on January 22nd, 1973? I didn't think so I'll tell you. It was the saddest day in the history of our country.
Oh, my goodness.
Nope. 1973. It's the saddest day in the history of our country because we legalized killing unborn babies. It's called abortion. Elliot, did you ever hear of Roe vs. Wade? It's when they legalized killing innocent babies. Isn't that sad? Now how many? 62 million already. It's a lot. 62 million babies murdered since Roe vs. Wade. Surgical. Not to mention chemical, because some are chemical, and you can never really tell how many of the chemical abortions. No? The surgical one, they're cutting the baby up. So that's today's the 16th, so on, what, next week? And the bishops want us to do a little bit of prayer and penance that day to repair for those innocent babies that have been killed. Yes?
Sounds like go straight to heaven.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. We hope that they will. The only theological problem is these babies that are aborted, but they weren't baptized. So how are they going to get to heaven because of the original sin? That's the theological question. We know that God is merciful, right? I mean, we know that God is merciful, and that God can circumvent the sacramental system to save souls. I mean, God, the sacraments are the quickest way. But God can get people into heaven without the sacraments. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But abortion is always, that's the biggest evil. And when your parents vote, hopefully they're going to vote in November, the primary criteria in voting is that of abortion. Tell your mom and that if they can't vote, okay? If they're not legal Americans yet, well, okay, maybe they will one day. But whoever can vote should vote. And the primary criteria is, what does that candidate say about abortion? Not about casinos in Las Vegas. That's not that important. But saving the unborn baby. And then the second after that would be, you have to defend the family. Yes?
So there's two parties.
Yes.
The Democratic Party and then the Republican.
Yeah, then there's the independent, but the chief one, the Democratic and the Republican. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Then the Democrats, don't they want abortion? Because they're usually trying to keep abortion in the state.
Okay, like myself as a priest, I cannot get up. For example, in November, I'm going to be preaching. I cannot preach that all of you people have to become Republicans and Democrats. I can't do that. That's wrong as a priest. And I've never done that, never will. However, I can't, it's called partisan politics. I can't do that. However, I will, and I'm very strong on practice, on preaching the morality of politics. Got the difference? I can't say, okay, Republican, Democrat, I can't say that. But the morality of politics, I am very strong, and people know it. These are the, okay, given that you brought up the topic, and you guys, you're not old enough to vote, but one day you will vote, you have to have what are called the non-negotiables. Know what that means? Elliot, know what that is? The non-negotiables, they're always wrong. Okay, the first is abortion. The second is the promotion of homosexuality. The third is euthanasia. You know what that is? None of you ever heard the word euthanasia? Elliot, what's that?
Transgender stuff?
No. No, euthanasia. None of you heard of euthanasia? Yes.
Getting married at a young age?
No. Okay, euthanasia, you kill the old people because they're sick. Never heard the word euthanasia? So you have your grandmother that's maybe 80, she got dialysis, she got Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, just give her a shot and kill her, no? Well, no, they're doing that today. You're laughing at that, but that's doing it. You know what I heard the other day, Matt? Is that in California, they're allowing for euthanasia of people, but not of animals. Terrible. You hear that? So animals cannot be put to death if they're sick. But your old grandmother can be put to death if she's sick and she's on dialysis.
Don't they call that animal?
Wait, can she get ill?
What?
Can she get sick?
No, I mean, she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to do it, but there are older people and their children that are already writing. If my mom is 82 and she's got Alzheimer's and she's got Parkinson's. And she's diabetic, and she's blind in one eye. Just kill her. They don't say that. They say dying with dignity, and they'll give you shots, morphine shots or shots, and that will end your life. That's wrong because listen, God gives life and God takes life away. Right? Did you hear that? Only God has the right to give life, and only God has the right to take life away. Are you listening? Okay, so only God can give you life. And God decides when to take your life away. Because the American society is basically this. So try to listen. This is important. It's when you're old and you're suffering, in the eyes of God, that old age and suffering can be very pleasing to God if they offer their suffering to God. The last 3 or 4 years of the life of my father, he was suffering a lot. Yeah, he's suffering a lot. But with the help of my mother, he's offering it up, and he's got 39 grandchildren, but he had a natural death. He never thought about ending my life because I'm 85 and I've got Alzheimer's, no? He had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and he was probably one of the most gifted men I've ever known. He worked on Wall Street. He built schools for children. He sent poor children, the parish here, to Catholic schools, basically free of charge. He helped out a lot of people. I was able to go to college, and he paid for my college. Otherwise, I would not be a priest. As I graduated, I was a teacher. And I had I would have had the $80,000 debt in 1978. Today, that'd be probably $500,000, right? So if it weren't for the hard work of my father, I probably wouldn't be here. By the end of his life, he was weak. He could barely walk. He was falling. But he tried to accept that suffering so that that could be his purgatory and could go right to heaven. Amen? That could be his purgatory, go right to heaven. So euthanasia. And another would be contraception, okay? Like the condom and the pill. Their government that really promote that, like the United Nations. You heard of the United Nations, right? They promote that. And last would be embryonic experimentation. You know what that is? Embryonic experimentation, which they take like the sperm and the ovum of a woman, they fertilize, they put it in a laboratory. Then they plant it in the womb of a mother. Yeah. Okay, that's called embryonic experimentation. Have you heard of that? Embryonic experimentation. All of those are wrong. Okay? So, if it's such that the Democratic Party is promoting that, you can't vote for that. So I'm not saying, okay, Republicans and Democrats. I'm giving you what is called the basic criteria. Moral criteria, and then you have to choose. And if people have problems with learning how to vote, they can come and talk with the priest, right? We can give you advice on who would be the best candidate. But if your parents are American citizens, some of your parents are American citizens, right? Okay, some of them are, right? If they are, then they should vote. Are you going to vote?
Yes.
So am I. I'm going to vote, okay? I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, but this is my criteria. I don't want to vote for someone who's going to be killing babies. I don't want to vote for someone that's going to have promoting women to marry women and men to marry men and to start to form a family. That's wrong. I'm not going to be voting for someone that's killing old men, old women, your grandfathers. I'm not going to be voting for someone who promotes embryonic experimentation. All these are the moral issues that have to be taken into account when you one day will be voting. Okay, most of the Americans for many, many years, they vote basically on the economy. Who's going to boost the economy? Okay, nothing wrong with that. We want to have enough jobs, don't we, right? We want to be able to pay the bills, right? Mm-hmm. And immigration, I think, is very important because almost all of you are immigrants or second generation immigrants. And we do all we can. We do all we can to try to help out the immigrants in the parish. Being a poor parish here, we try to help out as much as we can. But these are key issues, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
And this is related to heaven, too, because what you do with your life, when you die, you're going to be judged, and Jesus is going to say, what did you do to try to promote life? What did you try to do to help out people to live good lives and get to heaven? What did you do? We're all going to be judged. We're all going to be judged one day. All right? Okay, let's move on. So you got that? Is that clear? Okay.
Yes.
Number two. In heaven there is no evil, no sin. There is no suffering. We suffer here, don't we? You know, it's another thing that suffering, don't waste your suffering, offer it up, okay? You ever get a flu or you get a headache, you get a stomachache, ever happen?
Yeah.
Huh? Try not to complain, but to offer it up. You complain, you waste the graces. But if you offer it up, that's going to help you and help souls to get to heaven. Your mother probably taught you that. Offer it up, right? I know. She's going to tell you to offer it up, not to waste it. Okay, there are no tensions, nor wars, nor any fights or conflicts. There are no tears, nor sadness. Sickness does not exist. Earthquakes, storms, blizzards, excessive heat, or excessive cold. None of these exist in heaven. You know why we have wars according to Our Lady Fatima? Because we don't pray enough. Yeah. Our Lady Fatima. Were you listening? Primary reason why the war is because we don't pray enough. Family that prays together stays together. In a world at prayer is a world at peace. Father Patrick Peyton. Yeah? The Rosary Priest. Okay, number three. Who else is in heaven? Okay, let's the huge number of angels. It's number three. The huge number of angels are in heaven. You're not talking about the baseball team from Anaheim, okay? Talking about the angels are in heaven, okay? Hopefully the baseball team will make it too, right? Also the saints. You're not saying the New Orleans saints, right? Also the saints will be there forever. All those people who died in the state of grace. Write that in, the state of grace, will be permanent residents of heaven. We hope and pray that our relatives and friends will one day be in heaven forever. Okay, St. Paul. Okay, St. Paul. What does he say? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poetic expression in heaven. I think you're going to love it. Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. Nor is it entered in the mind of man the wonderful things that God had prepared for those who love him. St. Paul to the Corinthians. In other words, we can never plumb the depths with our limited imagination how great heaven really is. Human words fall short if the reality of the sublime greatness of heaven. Of the sublime greatness of heaven. So even the most sublime, poetic, mystical words you can say about heaven is always going to fall short. Because finite person cannot explain the infinite reality of the eternal God. Okay, what else does St. Paul say about heaven? The great apostle underlines the shortness of this life. Remember, you made your first communion, no? About 5 years ago, probably almost seemed like yesterday. Time goes by quickly, doesn't it? And the older you get, the faster time goes, even mathematically, right? You go from 3 to 4, that's 25% of your life, right? You go from 60 to 61, that's a very smaller percentage, even mathematically, right? So as you get old, time goes by quicker and quicker. So don't waste your life. Give your life to God. Work hard in this life and you can rest forever in heaven. Amen? Amen? Work hard and rest in heaven for all eternity. Amen? That's a good motto, huh? One of my favorites. Huh? Okay, number six. How does this apply to us? Quite simply this. Our life is short and our sufferings are very few. Write that in there. Our sufferings are very few. If we can compare this to the immense, total, permanent, unending joy. Write that in there. Unending joy that will be ours once we made it to heaven. In other words, in the midst of the struggles, sorrows, uncertainty, and failure of life, it all ends. If we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus who perfects our faith and live and die in the state of grace, then heaven is ours forever. Can we lose heaven?
No.
Now, once you make it to heaven, once you make it to heaven, the devil can't get in one of the windows and drag you out the window and pull you down to hell. It's not going to happen. No, there's not going to be an earthquake, and the floor is going to cave in. You end up there with Satan and his buddies. No, that's not going to happen. No. Once you made it, it's like you're playing baseball, bottom of the ninth inning, 5-5. You slide into home plate, safe. The umpire's going to say, "No, I'll think about it tomorrow. Maybe you're out." No? Can we lose heaven? Never. It is like an athlete runner who has crossed the finish line. First, he's crowned champion and no way to lose it. Or it is like a baseball player who has slid into home plate and he said, "Safe!" Then the umpire cannot change his mind. That player is safe and scored that winning run. Of the greatest importance is heaven. Once we've died in God's grace, we are saved and destined for heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So we long for heaven? So try to imagine a deer walking through Arizona in the middle of July. Hot day, huh? 110 degrees. Huh? And he's walking through the desert and nothing to drink. From 7 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock, 13 hours walking through the desert, nothing to drink. At the end of the day, he arrives at this place where there's vegetation, there's trees, there's running waters. And what is that deer going to do? He's going to rush at that water, launch himself, and he's going to drink half the stream. He's so thirsty. We should have a greater hunger for God than that deer for the running stream. Got that? Or maybe you played some soccer, huh? Well, at least you try, huh? You're playing the whole day. There's no water or Gatorade. You come home. "Mom, where's the Gatorade?" And you drink a half a gallon, huh? You're really thirsty, huh? It happens. I play baseball like you guys. I need the hot sun in New Jersey. Wow, it's kind of tough. So as you thirst for that water or Gatorade, you should have even a greater hunger and thirst for heaven. Amen? So, just write in number 8, yes and always. The Old Testament psalm expresses the importance of longing in the image of a deer. Image of a deer. Okay, let's go down to number 9. I just explained in my own words. What are the two worst things that could happen to us in opposition to attaining heaven? The two are related. And the first is mortal sin. Write that in there. Mortal sin is bad. But there's something worse. Mortal sin is bad. But what's worse than mortal sin? Dying in mortal sin. Yep. Write that in there. Dying in mortal sin. You commit a mortal sin, there's always hope. You just have to go to confession and try to repent. But if you die in the state of mortal sin, you're condemned to hell for all eternity. That's the way it is, and it's your fault. So we commit a mortal sin, repent, go to confession. And all of you guys should go to confession as often as possible. At least every month. Be better even more frequently. Maybe ask your parents just to bring you to make a good confession frequently. You will be going to confession. You're going to be going to confession always until you're 120 years old. Okay? You hear that? That means until you die, we all have to go to confession because we're all sinners. Yes?
What happens if you committed a mortal sin and you're on your way to confession, but then you died?
Yeah.
Great question. Did we ever talk about making? I think we talked about making a perfect act of contrition. I talked about that about a month ago. Do you remember what a perfect act of contrition is? I think I mentioned that about a month ago. It's this. What was it? Remember I mentioned that? I talked about the plenary indulgence and I talked about that. What is it? Perfect act of contrition.
I forgot.
Any of you remember? Okay, it's this. If you tell God you're sorry and you really love Him with all your heart, you never want to do that again. Okay, you really want to love God. I'm really sorry that I missed Mass because of laziness. I'm never going to do that again, God. I prefer even to die. If that's in your heart and you really mean it, you've made a perfect act of contrition, and you're going to be forgiven, but you still have to go to confession. Got that? It's a good question though. But I repeat that you guys have to make it a habit of going to confession frequently. You know, if I were your dad, I'd take you every week. Okay, at least every 2 weeks. Yes.
Do you go to church in heaven?
No. Oh no, and once you get to heaven, there's no longer any church. Yeah. Good question, yeah. There's no church in heaven, no. Yeah.
So how exactly would you die in a mortal sin?
How would you die?
Yeah.
Well, say for example, okay, you decide to get married just civilly, just in Las Vegas, and then you and your wife, you got three kids, and you don't go to church, and you drink too much, you get drunk, and you drive. You got a lot of mortal sins, and you're in a car accident, and you don't repent. Got it? I mentioned about five, a lot of mortal sins there. Getting married just civilly is mortal sin. Missing Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. Purposely getting drunk is a mortal sin. Drinking and driving is even worse because you're placing your life in danger as well as people on the freeway, right? So there's about five mortal sins right there. Okay, I'll end with this because it's already late. If you want to make to heaven, three things. Once a month, once a week, and every day. Every month, go to confession. Every week, Mass and Holy Communion. And every day, the Rosary. You hear me? It's not that complicated. Every month, you make a really good confession. Every Sunday, you're going to Communion. You receive our Lord with love. And every day you pray the Rosary, you know, there's a really, really good chance that all of you are going to go to heaven. You hear me? Okay, so the last thing is, do you want to get to heaven? Of course you do. Pray every day to your guardian angel, to the saints, and the Virgin Mary. Okay? So that's it. Very good lesson.
Excellent.
We talked about a lot of really important things. Thank you very much, and let's pray that we all get to heaven, okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. See you Mass on Sunday, okay?
Great. Thank you, Father. God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.